Joining us now is our guy from Charlotte, boots on the ground, giving us a Panthers preview, Kyle Bailey. Of course, you can hear him afternoons on WFNZ in the Queen City. Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother?
Doing great. Now, before we start the conversation, I do have to start things with an H-O-K-I-E-S, Hokies. Let's go Hokies, baby. Can't wait for tonight.
We got a Terp over here. You're going to be mad.
in the post-ACC Big Ten world for my Terps, a lot of my animosity has changed. I'm cool with the Hokies. Good luck tonight, man. I mean, when they dropped that Miami game, Beamish and I were watching that together out in Arizona. When that kid didn't score on the pick six, I knew they were going to lose, and I just felt bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I went from hating you in the conference to hating you for leaving the conference to not caring anymore, so I get it. So I hope you're doing well, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
No, of course, man. If you want to listen to the Hokies tonight, you can listen right here on 106.7 The Fan. They're playing Boston College at 7:30. Dude, I want to start on a personal level. I know how bad the weather was, those hurricanes, everything it did to Western North Carolina. You get through everything okay. How's just the state rebounding?
Yeah, it's actually a great question, very timely, because our radiothon today here in Charlotte started at 6 a.m. this morning. Of course, the Western North Carolina mountains are about, 90 minutes to 3 hours from here, depending upon where you're going, so not far at all. But our entire cluster of stations today is raising money and sending food with the Second Harvest Food Bank to make sure that folks out there who are obviously still just starting to rebuild and will be for some time are at least fed and continue to get the resources that they need out west. So, 13 hours today, we are doing our part to do that. I mean, Charlotte, we were certainly, we felt the impact of the storm. There was a lot of local flash flooding here and things like that. So things got a little bit hairy, but certainly not near to the level of destruction and devastation out west. So, somebody who grew up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, I understood then how dangerous mountain flooding could be. And you were just hoping for the best, but unfortunately it turned out to be the worst for so many people. So I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, man, that's great. You guys are raising that money, and I got people down there, and, man, just such a scary. Totally. Some of the videos you see are just devastating.
They were bad.
All right, let's get down to business here. Carolina Panthers visiting Northwest Stadium. Make sure you have that on your flip card, Kyle. It's Northwest Stadium. Coming to play the Burgundy and Gold, and Carolina's not as bad maybe as that record, but they're still not very good. Get us up to speed on all things Panthers.
It feels like we've already played an entire season down here again. That's how things go. Six games in, Bryce Young gets benched after two. And actually before that, they hire Dave Canales coming up from Tampa. He's worked with Baker. He's worked with Geno Smith, helped Russell Wilson to some of his best years in Seattle. So, young, energetic, good-looking quarterback whisperer gets hired. He's coming in to fix Bryce Young, and it takes two games before he's benched. They go to Andy Dalton. Andy immediately gives them a boost in Vegas. They go out there and, get an impressive win. You could tell the team was energized. And then they come back and they face the Bengals, and, they played well offensively. But as has become the story, a defense that was already kind of thought to be maybe middle of the pack this year after losing Burns and Luvu, who I'm sure we'll talk more about. They start suffering massive injury after massive injury. Derrick Brown goes down week one against the Saints, done for the season. They've lost Shaq Thompson for the season, obviously. DJ Wanham, who they signed in free agency, still hasn't played a down yet. Jordan Fuller's been injured. Josie Jewell, the other linebacker, both their starting linebackers are gone at this point. They've been churning the bottom of the roster, trying to find depth. And the defense is just really, really bad right now. They're on pace to give up the most points in a season in the modern NFL in the Super Bowl era. It's really bad from that respect. Offensively, the offensive line's been really, really good, and it should be because they invested more money than anybody else in the NFL into that position. They've been able to run the ball. And Andy Dalton, as, Brian and I talked about yesterday, is a professional quarterback, so he has kept them on time. He certainly made some plays. I do think offensively this weekend, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, I think Carolina's going to be able to move the football, but I don't know if they're going to be able to stop. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold Washington under 40 points.
Wow.
Well, we hope you're right.
Yeah.
since Andy has come in, and it just, sometimes, we saw it last year We had Sam Howell, and I mentioned this to you. Jacoby Brissett comes in, and you go, wow, that's how the offense is supposed to be run. Has it allowed other things to happen for him because you're not, you know, trying to do so much to make sure Bryce looked good?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you saw that. You certainly felt it after the Chargers loss in week two, 26-3, where they just could not move the football. And there were comments after the game by some of the veterans. Like, they brought Deontay Johnson in here from Pittsburgh, a guy who, you know, might have been, you know, kind of disruptive in the locker room at times with the Steelers. And, you know, you got some vets in here that really want to win. They want to be given a chance to compete. And they just didn't feel like they had that after 2 weeks. And so, you know, Andy coming in, you could see it right away in Vegas. He starts to unlock Deontay Johnson, made some big plays, the rookie Xavier Leggett. Adam Thielen had a big touchdown grab in that game. Unfortunately, he got hurt on that play and has been out ever since. So, yeah, I mean, the offense has certainly looked a lot better. They've suffered a couple of injuries over there as well that have, you know, caused them to struggle a little bit at times. But, you know, it was night and day difference offensively right away, you know, taking out a second-year guy in Bryce Young and putting in a five-time or three-time Pro Bowler in Andy Dalton, who's led five teams to the playoffs. So, you know, obviously it was going to look better and different, but, man, it was stark.
Yeah, it started bad. It seems like they're going to have to trade or get rid of Bryce Young, right? Like, they seem, I don't know, it seems kind of broken. Do you see that as well?
That's the problem is that you just, I think, used the best word to describe it. It's broken. Who's trading for something that broken? And I talked to Jake DeLome about this a couple of weeks ago.
Enough,
you know, Jake and I both.
And he's going to be on the show on Monday.
Hey, that's awesome. You know, Jake and I both saw some of the same things last year where Bryce, you know, there, if you go back and watch last year's tape, Bryce did some things really well that gave you hope that there was something to build on there. But, man, he came out in that very first game against the Saints. And speaking of Jake, they come out first play of the game against New Orleans. They throw the football, interception, right? And it kind of felt like that moment where Bryce just collapsed into, oh, my God, here we go again. And there was this shell-shocked nature to the way they played, the way that he looked. He's running out of clean pockets. You know, he's running from things that aren't there. And, you know, that's a sign of a quarterback who, as we've seen in the past, you know, you take enough punishment, you suffer enough failure earlier in your career, it can stick with you when you can't shed it. And I'm afraid, I saw right away, I thought that's what it was. Jake said the same thing. I don't know how you fix that. I mean, maybe B. Mitch has some thoughts on that, but, you know, I don't know how you fix that.
I told you yesterday, when he was coming out of college, JP knows I said this.
Yeah, B wasn't high on
you're that. You're that tall, you're that small, you don't have a lot of speed to be a scrambler. It's hard as hell to be a pocket passer in the league because they're going to get
to
you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, let me ask you this because I think it's interesting, too. You know, people say, well, he can't see over the line of scrimmage. And we all understand that college to pro is definitely a different game. But, you know, height is height. And, you know, the guys that played in front of him in Alabama, you know, on the offensive line were all 6'3 to 6'7. So, you know, that's one of those things that I think some people are also here trying to figure out. All right. You know, how much of a difference is that? Is that the biggest thing, or is the game just faster, and he hasn't figured it out yet? But either way, it looks awful when he's out there.
I believe that the thing for him, he is like a Tom Brady without the height. You look at Kyler Murray. You look at Russell Wilson. You go with other guys that are not that tall. They can get inside the pocket. That's what they do. They can run, and then the guys know if you get out of the lane, they get through the gap, they can take it. He doesn't do that. So what they now do, they rush him as a passer, and he's in the pocket. Get hands up, it has to affect him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was one of the things that, you know, was also a selling point on him too, though, as you probably remember, that, you know, his ability to play off script, throwing on the run, you know, moving the pocket, that was one of the strengths that we were sold on. And man, that hasn't come to fruition either. So – I do, you know, he came in mop-up duty against the Bears a week and a half ago, made a couple of nice throws, but of course there's nothing on the line at that point. They're 1-5 right now. I do think they're getting better as a football team, but I don't think it's going to matter toward the postseason at all. So there will come a time, probably around week 11, 12, 13, where I think they go back to him at least one more time to see if sitting and watching from the sidelines, you know, was any benefit to him. I know you know Steve Smith, Panthers legend. He comes on with me every Monday, and Steve's still a big proponent of, hey, the best thing for him right now is to be sitting on the sidelines, clear his head, let him watch it from another vantage point, let him see that this offense works, And then when you go back to him, hope that some of that sank in.
I'm talking with Kyle Bailey here. You can listen to him afternoons down in Charlotte, WFNZ. Give him a follow at Kyle Bailey Club. Let's switch to two guys that have been helpful in Washington, one significantly so, in Frankie Louvu and Jeremy Chinn. Are you surprised the success those guys are having here?
Louvu, no, not at all. Fantastic football player, built and made of all the right stuff. Absolutely loved him, was devastated when he left. As a football fan. Now, Jeremy Chinn was a little bit different. Chinn had gone through, a handful of different defensive coaches, a couple different defensive coordinators, and after a really strong start down here, it just didn't seem to work. It just didn't seem to click. There was no playmaking out there to be seen. It felt like to some of these coaches maybe that he was a bit of a tweener, and this obviously comes down to using a guy the right way. But, by the time that he left, there was sort of this sense of, all right, this many coaches haven't been able to figure out how to use him. You're obviously not in a great position to pay him, too. So, this is one that I think was kind of expected when he left. I'm happy to see him playing well. I was very excited about him when the Panthers drafted him a couple of years ago. I hate that it didn't work out. But I'm especially, like a lot of fans, upset to watch Frankie Louvu playing as well as he is in another uniform, because I just love watching that guy play football.
Well, you said he does. He has everything. He does all the right things. What was it about him that had you so excited when he was there? Because right here, when he's here, he's an actual motivator, and that dude runs around like a maniac on the football field.
Well, that's it. You just said it. Like, he's one of those guys. He's just a football player. And, he has good instincts. He's not afraid to stick his head in there and hit anybody. He wants to be a leader. He is vocal, but he also backs it up with his play on the field. He's a tough, hard-nosed guy. And I just think, you need as many of those types of guys in your locker room as possible. And we felt like all offseason that if they could afford to bring him back, they would try. And they certainly did. I mean, they offered a little bit more money than the Commanders did. But obviously he made what he felt was the best decision for him. So, everything about him as a football player, I think it was the best piece of pro scouting that the previous regime did before they were ultimately ushered out the door, I felt, because Frankie's a football player, and I know y'all are happy to have him.
Oh, yes, we are.
Hey, Kyle, one last thing. I don't know what's going on down there. I know you got a new young head coach, and maybe ownership's actually going to let him take the time he needs to rebuild that thing. Who knows, right? But everybody up here is obsessed with the trade deadline, and one name we keep hearing is J.C. Horn. What is Horn like as a player?
No. Can't have him. No.
Well, no. So I guess he's good. Now, he's dealt with a lot of injuries. I assume they've picked up the fifth-year rookie option. Just get us up to speed on Horn, and then if you think they are a seller at the trade deadline.
Oh, they're a seller. I just don't think they're selling J.C. Horn. This team has watched and look, we've talked about this on the airwaves for months on end. People are tired of watching talent run out the door here because, the front office can't properly manage its roster. Or doesn't make the right moves in a timely manner. J.C. Horn, the only real complaint about J.C. Horn is that he's had a tough time staying healthy the first couple of years of his career. And it's a big one, right? You have to be able to stay healthy. And he's always going to be compared to Patrick Surtain because those guys, were taking a couple of selections apart. But, J.C. Horn can play. And, not only do we want to just see J.C. Horn stay healthy for 16 to 17 games down here, it would be nice to see J.C. Horn paired with a consistent pass rush. And while nobody thought this pass rush was going to be elite this year, if you kept Jadeveon Clowney, Derrick Brown, A'shaun Robinson healthy, and D.J. Wonnum, who hasn't played yet, was out there on the field coming off of 8.5 sacks, you felt like you had a chance to at least be disruptive, which, of course, helps your back end. So J.C.'s a big physical corner. He can run with and cover anybody in the NFL, and I think they'd be insane to go trading him at the trade deadline, and I don't think they have any interest in it, to be quite honest with you.
All right, so we can all shut up about that one.
No, listen, I've been wrong before. I mean, next week you can be laughing because this guy in Charlotte said they weren't trading J.C. Horn, and here he is. So, I mean, it happens, but, I don't think they have any interest in trading J.C. Horn.
Okay. Well, then let's wrap it up relatively simply. What do you think happens on Sunday?
Commanders win a shootout. I'm hopeful. I guess never hopeful to lose, but last week against the Falcons, I predicted the final score was 38-24. It's not often I predict NFL teams to score. Well, close, yeah. I mean, But this defense just is what it is, guys. I mean, you got guys getting after the quarterback down here that nobody's ever heard of. You know, the starting linebackers are hurt, and one of the backups, Claudin Cherulis, who's actually he's a player. I mean, he's a really talented guy. He's, you know, banged up this week and didn't practice yesterday either. So, Ejiro Evero is truly being asked to make chicken salad out of you-know-what, and I just don't know how he's going to do it. Now, the good news is they should be getting some guys coming back healthy over the next couple of weeks. I just don't think it's going to be in time for this Sunday.
It's the highest total on the books this weekend, or tied for the highest total on the books this weekend, depending where you're shopping. Pretty damn interesting, man. I don't know that Washington – how good is Chuba?
Good. Chuba. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. And with a good
O-line.
Really,
really good. Hard worker, tough kid. Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, I go back to the Panthers invested more money in the offensive line than anybody else. They signed Robert Hunt from Miami. They brought Damian Lewis down from Seattle. They kicked Austin Corbett over to center. And, you know, they've had two guys go down. Corbett's out for the year with a torn bicep now. And Taylor Moton, who had a 104-game Ironman streak, is going to – he saw that snapped on Sunday because of a tricep injury. But, you know, Brady Christensen and Yosh Nijman just stepped right in, and they continued playing well. So, I mean, this offensive line has been a real bright spot when they stick with the run. That's the one way that, you know, I think maybe the Commanders could find themselves in trouble late in this game, is if they stick with the run and they continue to run it well, because they are moving people on the line of scrimmage. Brian Baldinger has a great breakdown, one of his Baldy's breakdowns on this from a couple of days ago. He's insistent that things are going to turn, quote-unquote, as he put it, here in Carolina, because he loves what they're doing along the line of scrimmage, and I tend to agree with him. So I think they can run the ball on Sunday, and maybe their best chance is to keep Jaden Daniels off the field.
Robert, I like those Raging Cajuns. Robert Hunt, another Raging Cajun.
y'all got a proud legacy down there. You got a proud legacy.
Yes, indeed.
Are you coming up? I don't know. I know you do all the Hornets stuff, so maybe traveling's not on the books for this one.
No, not right now. I also have three kids under 3.5 years old. So,
doggy.
I don't. Might want to find another hobby, Kyle.
I got a hobby for you. It's a vasectomy.
Well, listen, Blue Chew is one of my big sponsors on the show.
So oh, my Lord.
We got love for Blue Chew.
You and JP?
Dude, 3 under 4. Goodness gracious. Good luck.
Yes, sir.
You're a busy man. Get some sleep. Thanks for making time for us, brother.
Thank you, fellas. Good to catch up.
All right, take care.
Kyle Bailey. Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Bailey Club. Same thing on Instagram. That dude's a riot. That show is really good. I've listened to it before.